Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would just open our hearts and our minds to study your word, Lord, and to learn from it. We thank you, Lord, that we can do this. We come here and just learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that's better. So we're going to continue on with chapter 12. And we're beginning in verse 9. Hopefully we'll get to the end of the chapter here. So I'm going to read the first part here, 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. So I have some verses here, and my question is, what is the source of our love for fellow Christians and non-Christians? And I have these verses here which kind of open things up a little bit. So if someone would read 1 John 4, 7, and 8. So what does that say, where the source of love is?
The source of love is God, because God is the source of all love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the second part of that, verse 8, is what distinguishes us from non-Christians. Don't you think?
Yes. Well, that's what it's supposed to do.
Right. Right. That's true. The next verse, 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 14. First Timothy 1, 12 through 14. Yeah. So what's Paul talking about there? Well, yeah, he's talking he's talking about himself, and he's, you know, he's saying I was sincere when I was persecuting Christians. I was dragging them out of their houses. I was putting them in jail. I was having them flogged. I was having some of them killed. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you think about all the scripture that he knew so well, and he thought he was doing the right thing. So it just shows that we can do wrong, too, and be convinced we're doing the right thing. So what do we do if we're wrong? What happens? Well, what I'm thinking is what happened to Paul? God took him down. Well, he can do the same thing to us, can't he? He took him right down and set him straight. Acts 9:4 is where Jesus is saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" I mean, he's being called on the carpet. So it's something to think about, because we can be wrong.
And, you know, people who are coming to Christ, they don't know Paul's story. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, to learn it. Mm-hmm. And they don't know that Paul was
such an example, because God took him from down on the ground, as low as he could get, blind, and raised him up to, you know, one of the world's best evangelists ever. I mean, taking somebody who was the worst, as in his own words, the vilest persecutor, to being And that was the example of the love of God, you know, to the highest. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay, who has Leviticus 19:18? Okay. That's where Jesus gets his commandment, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Romans 5:5. This part of Romans, Paul's telling us that the hope we have is in God, regardless of what we're going through, times of trials, disappointment, all things that make us question our faith, make us question whether God's listening to us. If he, you know, are you really there? Are you? Do you know what's going on in my life? And this is a time when we realize that God doesn't disappoint. God loves us, and it's real. It's made real through the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is given to us for that purpose. Mm-hmm. Who has John 13, 34 and 35? And this is a new kind of love, too. The kind of love that Jesus is talking about is where we love in a way that costs us our life. He's talking to his disciples here, and he's telling them what's going to happen. I'm going to lay down my life. Because I love you all so much. That's the kind of love he's talking about. And it's not just loving, generally loving people. This is specific, and this is a sacrificial type of love. So this whole chapter, he's talking about how to love everyone, how to love people you can love easily, but also how to love people that are hard to love. This next part, from 9 to 13, verses 9 through 13, he talks about different aspects, different qualities. And if we learn these and practice them, it'll transform our relationship with other Christians and the way we interact with other believers. So we have some examples here. In verse 9, loving without what? Let love be without hypocrisy, right? And cling to what is good. Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Being devoted to others. And giving preference. And also giving honor. Verse 11, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not lagging in diligence. And then yeah, I'm a pro at crust. Yeah. That's one of my favorite sayings. fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, and rejoicing. Oh, this is verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Never lacking in. Mine says zeal, but I'm sure that you have. There are other words used there. Persevering in tribulation, never lacking in zeal is what I have. Yeah. And devoted to prayer. And then in verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Meeting others' needs, and practicing hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. So what does bless mean? Blessing those who persecute. Right. The word bless comes from the root word is eulogy, to speak well of, to express good wishes. So that kind of adds a little extra to it when we think about a eulogy, usually remembering somebody who's passed away. But what it means is to speak well of someone. And so in this case, blessing is speaking well of someone. That's a little different to think about. Right. I know. Yeah. And on the other hand, curse means to wish evil or ruin on somebody. And we're told to speak, to not speak or wish evil on anyone. So both these actions, blessing and cursing, it has to do with the attitude of our heart. Yeah, this is a tough part. This is, you know, we're being asked to do things that go contrary to our nature. You know, to bless people who curse us and that kind of thing. You know, a lot of times your first response is to fight back.
So, right. And the only way we can do it is through Jesus.
Right.
Through the Holy Spirit. It's
just like, and he told, you know, somebody slaps you in the face, offer up the other one. That's hard.
Yes,
that's a hard concept.
You know,
well, it doesn't mean you're weak. If you could do that, it means you're pretty darn strong. So it's talking about changing our heart attitude to wish people well who are doing things against you.
Well, you see it right now in our political situation. It's awful in our country. So, mm-hmm. If we as believers, as Christians, could pray for our country and our people, you know, it would make such a difference, I think, you know. And not just those we like, but for those that we may not associate with or feel like we don't like.
Yeah. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:43-44, he said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." And this verse 12:14 is a command. It's in the present tense, and it's God isn't suggesting we act this way. He's expecting us to act this way. Verse 15 and 16. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And he's basically saying to live in harmony with one another and to share one's joys and sorrows. Now, I was thinking about prayer time, prayer and praise. You know, I mean, we share our praises with others. And you know, the blessings that God gives us, they mean more when we share them. They seem more joyous when we share them with others, because we can always celebrate in what a good thing that God's done. Right? Right. And see, that's the other thing. When we share our prayer requests and our sorrows and our tribulations, we're sharing with everyone, and it lightens the load. So, you know, it's just such an important time. And so when we're praying for, a lot of times we pray for the bad things that are happening. God, take this away. You know, we really need to spend more time praying, thanking God for the good times. You know, I mean, those immediate things, you realize, oh, wow, thank you, Lord.
For all things. Mm-hmm. And there are times when it's really hard, and I'm happy to just ask for help in that.
Yeah.
And you know, God gives you, He gave me things to be thankful for, mm-hmm. even in that hard time.
Right.
So, yes, just be
thankful. I know what you mean. There were so many times that, that Cindy and I got to talk to people. You know, and it took us out of our own situation and helped us help others in their own situation. And you know, it's just Mm-hmm. Right. And the hard part is not letting it sneak up on you, because Cindy and I got to a point where we were okay. We get in the car, we're driving to Portland again, you know, every week, and before we even took off, we prayed, Lord, just show us what we're supposed to do this time, because we just never knew, and letting us, you know. Show us what's going to be happening so we can, you know, be encouragers.
At that time, as your church family, we loved hearing the stories mm-hmm. of the people you met mm-hmm. and the situations that you could come into. It is part of it.
Right. And that's this whole thing of sharing. Who has 1 Corinthians 12:26?
If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Yeah. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 13:11, to encourage one another to be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with us. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Romans 12:17-21. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I have the same kind of thing here. We live in a world of unbelievers. And so what is that relationship supposed to look like? How are we supposed to relate to unbelievers? Okay, so the question. Do not repay evil for evil. Yeah. Do what is good and right in the eyes of everyone. And if possible, I like that, if possible, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, because the Lord's going to take care of that. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is, give him something to drink. And do not be overcome. But overcome evil with good.
You know, this thing that Sandy had sent me and I forwarded on to on Facebook about the church in Oklahoma, and they want to cut off the cross on the steeple. It's now on campus, and they want them to take all the Bibles out of the church. So are offended by the cross.
Huh.
So actually the group that is trying to force a spiritual warfare, and boy, can we feel it now. So we need to be prayer warriors. We need to be standing up for God, for Christ, but not to the point where we're trying to overcome evil with evil.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing compared to what's going to happen. But we have to remember that we can't defeat the world with the same tactics they use, because our failure is assured if we do that. If Satan is really good at what he does, and we can't fight it that way, and we're not supposed to fight it that way. Yeah. What does it mean here about heaping burning coals on his head?
Well, I feel like, you know, when people are trying to be really angry with you and everything, you come back to the sweetness of light. Mm-hmm. You know, what are they going to say?
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're going to get more frustrated at times. Mm-hmm. Than, but if you can keep your cool without, you know, and just.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that there were actually some things that took place if you were required to carry a pan full of burning coals on your head as a sign of repentance for wrongs that you had done. And so there's kind of an analogy there, but I don't know, you know, you can read that into it if you want, but I also just think that the illustration of kill him with kindness, exactly. I think that means just as much as, you know. Yeah. Paul tells us to overcome evil with good. God has given the believer the good, which is the Holy Spirit. And we're told to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And then Paul goes on to say in Galatians 5:25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit."
Mm-hmm. You know, too many times it we're that way at one point, but another instance or another situation, we blow. You know, we blow. And just as God shakes us and sands off the roughness,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be able to just be that way all the time, be what He wants us to be.
Yeah. And I think that the word overcome is important there. Do not be overcome by evil. We are aware that it's there. There's no mystery. So when we see it, I think we just need to be prepared for how we react when we see evil things happening. Because it's so easy to get sucked into it. It's so easy to play into Satan's motives. And I think that the word overcome is really important, because if we're not, if we guard ourselves from being dragged into those situations, I think that's really important.
Satan knows how to push our buttons. Pushes the right ones a lot. So.
And the Holy Spirit's going to keep us safe. You're not going to be lazy. I know better than that. Well, that's what I have for chapter 12.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a good one.
Uh-huh. There's a lot in there.
Sure is. Well, this is something that we have to work on all the time. Because you can't go anywhere. You can't go to the store or the post office. You can't go anywhere without dealing with the world.
You know, if you know your Bible, the Holy Spirit has prepared us, is preparing us for what's coming, mm-hmm. what has come. And, Lord, we just need to be praying and connected with God and the Holy Spirit to help us.
We need to be, verse 11, fervent in the Spirit. Yeah. And devoted to prayer. And we know that it's going to get worse. So we've got to step up another notch. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do pray that... that your Spirit would be alive in us in all the situations that we come up against. Lord, help us be good examples of you. Lord, we have your example. We just pray, Lord, that you would guide our steps and help us become more like you to deal with evil things in the world that we see all around us. Lord, protect us and save us from being dragged into those things. And let us be more faithful to you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.